everybody, and welcome back to Spiritual Successor, a comedy video game design podcast, where we take your lovely submissions and turn them into the next AAA titles.
We take those...
where do we get those? Sorry, you go.
We take those submissions from Twitter, YouTube, Reddit, and email and turn... Oh, man. See, you said the, like, and we take them from at the beginning. Oh, man. Can I try this again?
Yeah, take it from the top, bud.
Take it from the top, like, hello and welcome, or...
No. Whoa. Don't go that far. I already did that part. That part's been done. I nailed that one. You're the one that keeps on blowing chunks on your section.
Well, the thing is that we say, like, and we take your lovely submissions from blank, and then we turn them into the next simple thing, the bits. All
right, I'll tell you what. Just for you, for your sake, I'll reset and set you up correctly, all right?
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritual Success, your comedy video game design podcast.
It's a podcast where we take your lovely submissions from the internet, all from Twitter, Reddit, YouTube, and email, and turn those into the next AAA video game titles. See, AJ,
I'm your host, AJ Hart.
Oh, that's right, we gotta host ourselves. I'm Blake.
Yeah, say your name.
God, man, we almost fucking stuck the landing this time in intros,
well,
but...
here's the thing. For a year and a half almost, we had a certain setup, but we've since abandoned that, and we never really worked out what the new intro's supposed to flow like, and so every week it's a little bit like jazz, and by jazz, I mean really bad improv, where we don't know the rules.
Well, I mean, we say our names, we say what we do. I feel like we hit all the important beats there.
They do all get... We've spread out all the important things. We're just really not sure where to put them yet.
AJ, hey, everybody. Welcome. We know things are kind of crazy out in the world right now, but we're happy you're here and hanging out with us. We hope we can give you some good time and give you some laughs.
And here's some good time and laughs. I have something I want to talk about, Blake. Shut up.
Wait, but mine is way fucking funnier.
I know yours is objectively funnier, but I want to get on my soapbox and preach something before we get to our funny bits.
All right, get on your soapbox. Yeah,
every single person needs to go listen to the DJ Hero soundtrack, because that soundtrack rules so hard. All of the tracks in there bang.
Pretty fucking good.
I don't know why the DJ Hero soundtrack is so good, but it really is. It owns. There's so many good mixes. They went so hard. Well, granted, it's difficult to find some of the tracks on YouTube because it's music, and music has like the most fucked up legal system ever, and there are some tracks that were deleted from the internet because of copyright law.
Oh, I remember while I was listening to the soundtracks earlier today, I was actually going through the comments section, and they were talking about that. Of like, hey, I actually really love the soundtrack, and I want to. And the only way you can get that music is actually buying a physical fucking CD. It's not like nobody put it on iTunes or anything. So, but you know how much the CDs run for like DJ Hero and DJ Hero 2, AJ?
I'm gonna take a stab and say a DJ Hero 1 soundtrack costs $165.
Wow, that's a close guess. Just divide that in half, and you've got the number. It's $80.
Oh, it's only. $80?
Only $80 for a CD? I wouldn't pay $80 for a CD. I'd pay $80 for like a vinyl set. I'd pay $80 for the vinyl collection of Hamilton, which is $80.
Well, I should say I think it's only I kind of say only because I'm so used to video game extortion.
I mean, like,
hold on, I'm adjusting my pop filter.
All right, so you're saying the video game industry has conditioned you to pay high prices for really, really bad collectibles? I'm looking at you,
yeah,
Last of Us statue, or any statue for that matter that comes in a limited edition.
I'm thinking more about like the outdated, hard to get a hold of things. Like, let me look up Tales of Symphonia.
Hey, AJ, I can hear your clicky clicks.
And it's not even a mechanical keyboard. That's just how good my normal keyboard is. I'm used to video game extortion because if I wanted to get a copy of Tales of Symphonia for the GameCube, a GameCube video game, do you know how much that would run me for?
But see, that's different. Okay, go ahead.
And this is like the actual video game. This isn't even something like as niche as a soundtrack. $150.
Okay, but that doesn't surprise me. Like, GameCube, like, old games like that are like collectibles. And at the same time, it's a game. It's an experience. Like, a CD shouldn't cost that much, you know? I mean, like, maybe if it was, like, I don't know, like, I guess there's the conversation of, like, what should be more expensive, CDs or collectible CDs or collectible vinyls, and I think vinyls are, like, I feel like the prices are higher because they are more likely to be damaged. Like, vinyls just get wear and tear naturally over time. So I can understand, like, finding one in good condition, you have to pay a fuck ton of money for it.
So what I think that this conversation goes two places, Blake. One, we can take every little step that we need to get there, or we can get straight to advocating for pirating this video game soundtrack.
And what's more DJing, what's more DJ energy than pirating things and integrating it into new content? All right. Enough of that.
What do you want to bring to the table that could possibly be funnier than what I've brought?
It is funnier than what you brought. You brought up a very good point, but I brought up something that I was introduced to. There's a friend of mine that her and I like basically talk every day. And yesterday, while her and I were watching anime, she introduced me to this. AJ, I don't know about you, but one of my favorite animes growing up was Naruto. And there was a lot of, translating for Naruto. And there is a Naruto, they changed the opening of Naruto in Germany. And I just want to let you know it has rap in it. And I want you to listen to it.
Oh, you didn't know about the Naruto rap? If you believe it,
you can be somebody. No, the Naruto German rap?
You fucking come into here talking about the Naruto rap like I don't know shit.
Come on, this song rules. Naruto German opening?
Hell yeah, I know about the Naruto rap.
God, all right, all right.
That's my fucking ninja way, dog.
Can we play like 15 seconds of it?
It's already in the background, dude. You mentioned it and I said, oh, the Naruto rap, and I started blasting it. Here it is.
Just where he's saying off key, Naruto, Naruto, believe it. And I'm like, I fucking died. I died so hard. And then he's like, and then where it shows Kakashi. Yeah, I'm in my ninja clan. My ninja clan. And I'm just like,
I don't think I've wanted anything as bad as if somebody in the world can create for me a mashup of the One Piece rap and the Naruto rap and just turn those into one really good DJ Hero mix for me. That would be so delectable. Please, I need this.
Oh, fuck.
I would pay top dollar for a Naruto. I would give the $80 to a CD that is just 20 different mixes of Naruto rap and One Piece rap mixed all together.
AJ, I could make that for you if you want. You want that as a birthday present? I'll get you a cassette and a cassette player. Just put a fucking album of all the different Naruto and One Piece totally had that rap too, and it was like not very good.
The One
good.
Piece rap was for the 4Kids dub.
Which See, but we all don't grew talk about with. Anything 4Kids. Like 4Kids like changed everything. I don't know if you saw it, like Yu-Gi-Oh! Used to be a dark as fuck series. Like bad things happened. Also, there was like a lot of like uncomfortable sexual things that went down that they luckily I do agree that they changed those, but like they had guns, dude. There was a scene where like Pegasus's minions, they just have guns on them and they're like telling people to come with them, but they painted them out in the 4Kids version, so it's just like there's a scene where they're pointing at them with finger guns and they're like saying I'll shoot you if you don't come with me, and it is the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Like, you ready to get into some video games?
Enough goofing around. We should definitely get into some video games. You want to give us the first one, or do you want me to give the first one?
I'll let you go first, King.
King. Thanks, King. All right. This one comes to us on Reddit at Squid from user Squid Pope. Nicholas Uncaged. What does it mean for Nicolas Cage to be uncaged? Does he, one, go full face off where he's just a crazy batshit person? Or is it like the Not the Bees guy where he just suddenly is like put in specific situations? Here's the game. You play a film director and you're trying to get the biggest performance out of Nicolas Cage. So you need to put him in weird ass situations to like the bigger his reaction is, like the better the rank you get. So it'll be like you have... Like, let's say Not the Bees
yes,
is, like,
because, like,
S-rank
what
Nicolas Cage.
What you're proposing here is the idea that Nicolas Cage, in all of his most over-the-top moments, right? The moment where he aggressively shouts the ABCs. The moment where he's crying in the movie about the vampire shit. And he actually says the phrase, boo-hoo, boo-hoo, boo-hoo.
That's an X. You know, all of these, like, fucking X rank.
Nicolas Cage shouting and exclaiming, "Not the bees, not the bees," and also saying, "What's up, sister?" and punching a lady while just in a bear suit. This is all Nicolas Cage while limited. This is Nicolas Cage caged. The question that we need to be asking
before he goes Super Saiyan is this, like, yes, Nicolas Cage Super Saiyan?
There's something beyond, and this game's whole purpose is, like, you're a director and you're like, I'm getting Cage an Oscar, but I need to push him. I need to go on some real Alfred Hitchcock level shit and really just push this man to the brink to make him go beyond.
I feel like he has won an Oscar. Yeah, Leaving Las Vegas, he was he won Best Actor. That movie's like
what?
A fucking
gem. I've never seen that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was like his, I don't know if it was his breakout role, but I know it was early in his career in 1996. Yeah, he won Best Actor for Leaving Las Vegas. And then he got a nominee for Adaption. So, like, this is, like, a very much a it's the other Nick kid. The guy who just won an Oscar for Revenant.
Nick Offerman.
Not Nick No. He was in Titanic. Why can't I remember his name? He was in Titanic. He was in Catch Me If You Can. He was in fucking Django Unchained. Also,
sorry, Leonardo DiCaprio is not a Leonardo fucking DiCaprio. Nick. You said Nick.
I don't know, man. I got Nick Cage on the brain, and I think
my
everybody
favorite
has
actor,
Nick in
Nicholas
their name.
DiCaprio. What the fuck are you talking about?
I mean, yeah, it was bad. It was a bad mistake. Hey, man,
we went to fucking film
school,
and now here we are being like, Nicolas Cage got an Oscar? You know that one actor, Nicolas DiCaprio? What the fuck are we doing?
Hey, AJ, I don't want to hear no lip from you. You called David Fincher David Lynch once. I don't need to hear shit from you. All right. Coming back to the game. When I picture this, I picture very much what's that game called? It's like golf. Is it just called golf game?
You mean Golf Story?
What the Golf. I very much picture kind of like, no,
what the golf.
Where it's just kind of has this like kind of weird kooky texture to it. So you have, each level is a different set and you're trying to like bring or position Nicolas Cage, the cameraman, the lights, whatever, to create maybe either the biggest domino effect to get the biggest performance out of Nicolas Cage, or you are just like, there's a bunch of hazards around the set for Nicolas Cage to get caught up in, and that'll be like that will be his performance. But you have to make sure the camera is in the right place, because if the camera's pointed at like jack shit while he's giving an amazing performance, he doesn't get the Oscar that round. And your whole goal is to just try and get like each scene is a different part of the movie. So, like, that's the story of the game, is, like, as you go through each scene, you kind of discover the story that is taking place within this film.
It's a little bit and then, camera like, setup, mm-hmm. like, set simulator, and a little bit Goose Game. You're just trying to rub Nicolas Cage in all the wrong ways to get him really riled up or really in character so that when you film this thing, it feels right. Maybe you're going in for a Nicolas Cage sad scene, so you're like, all right, I gotta make sure he has a really rough day. I can't get him angry, I just need to get him sad. So like, you need to get his coffee spilled, but it can't spill on him, because if it's on him, he's gonna be mad. But if it just happens, he's like, oh man.
So are you pitching that where some of the strategy comes in is like, when you're doing one level, it's gonna prep him for the next level? So like, if he went all out in the previous scene, it'll be like harder for the next scene. So like in a movie, you don't just do like each scene is like hard. It's, you have to actually do a rhythm of a movie where it's like, for you to have an impactful moment, you need to have a slow scene prior. Or if you want to have an action scene, you need to have like a sort of like setting the stakes sort of scene prior. So like maybe the game is comprised of like, let's call them zones. Each zone will represent its own unique movie. So it'll be like Nick Cage in a romance movie, Nick Cage in Face Off 2, Nick Cage in a National Treasure style movie. And each of those zones or movies will have like 10 individual scenes within them. So you can play one scene in a session, and then like at the end of that movie, you'll be rated on how well like the movie flowed. So, like, it's sort of like a movie maker slash goose game.
Yeah, but I love this scoring system that you're proposing, right? It has like a goose game checklist, but all of that's hidden, right? You're given a sandbox and you're able to just push him, and then it's going to say like, okay, you pushed him this much, you made him this sad, this scene gets an A. But then you move into the next scene, and now Nicolas Cage is really sad, but you need him really like happy for this scene. So it's like you didn't mess with Nicolas Cage in the correct way. So this scene's going to be a little bit more difficult to get him into the mood for this scene. So now we're now we're going to create the online element, right? People are going to be trying to communicate with each other and be like, all right, I have the list of the scenes. I know exactly what order you need to get Nicolas Cage in so you can get a perfect run, so you can get Nicolas Cage an Oscar, so you can get the gold achievable.
So that's how it is too. And also here's a couple of things. This is so fucking meta, but so each at the end of each movie you'll be graded, and if you got like S rank on every single scene or you did every single scene perfectly, that movie gets an Oscar. If you can get an Oscar in each of the 10 movies, it unlocks a biopic of Nicolas Cage himself. So it's a secret zone where you are making the biopic for Nicolas Cage. And it like maybe it just takes it reuses scenes from all of the movies, but it's not necessarily, it becomes like a BTS sort of thing. It'll be like what he's doing outside of the scene that you captured. So
now,
I don't
is
know,
this
maybe
a biopic
just, like,
of real world Nicolas Cage, or is this a fictional biopic about our fictional Nicolas Cage within the game Nicolas Uncaged?
I don't know. Like, I don't know how exciting Nicolas Cage's life is, because I mean, like, it could be a mix of both. Like,
he probably
it'll be,
owns
like,
bones,
cut...
right?
I
imagine being Nicolas Cage must rule.
I mean, he's the only man I know that said the whole alphabet, so I feel like he's living a pretty high life right now.
I always get tripped up at LMQ. I'm sorry, I can't be him.
Well, I also judge celebrities based off of one specific thing. This is this one thing determines how famous they are. Do they have
how much are they willing to admit that they fucking hated a movie while doing the commentary for it?
No. See, like, as so many people do that because it's so easy to talk. Like, look at us. It's so easy to talk into a mic and just say random bullshit. Anybody can do that. So, just look it up.
Right, what's the thing?
Do they have a cardboard cutout of themselves, and do people own those cardboard cutouts in their homes? Because I know a bunch. There's a bunch of celebrities, but I only know one. I only have one friend who keeps a cardboard cutout of Nicolas Cage on their bedstool. Like,
yeah, that's fair. We do have a friend that owns a Nicolas Cage cutout, huh?
Yeah,
and I often forget about that. Why does she own that?
I don't know. The same reason she owns a Nicolas Cage pillow. I don't fucking know. She just likes Nicolas Cage.
The memes.
She saw him in an anime store once, and then like
you
also,
ready to
Nick
go
Cage,
for another submission?
Okay, I was just about to say one level should be like an anime movie where Nicolas Cage, because Nicolas Cage likes anime, believe it or not. Can confirm.
I believe it. This comes from Caleb on Twitter at Busto314. Remember the audience enjoyment mechanic in Paper Mario where the more you got them hyped up, the more you could get certain benefits?
Mm-hmm.
But also there were hecklers that could throw things at you? Apply the same concept to a game that must be Twitch streamed to play. Now, did you play Paper Mario the Thousand Year Old Door?
No, I haven't played any of them.
Or as I colloquially call it, Paper Mario and the Really Fucking Old Door?
No, I have not played Paper Mario and the Really Fucking Old Door. I have not played any Paper Mario or Sticker Mario, any of the RPG Mario stuff, which is like a bummer because like those games are really impactful to a lot of people, and one day I should pick them up.
So
I've
it had this whole
to pick
system.
Up Origami King because I feel like that's the best game since Thousand Year Old Door.
I've heard a lot of people say that, but I've also heard a lot of people say that like while it is fun, it is not the Paper Mario that they've been wanting. I think everybody's still after that white whale that is Paper Mario in the Thousand Year Old Door.
That's fair. Yeah, because the combat is, like, vastly different now.
Yeah, it had a really fun, like, turn-based system, and, like this submission suggests, it had, like, a crowd-cheering system. I forget how you exactly earned points, but basically, if you were doing cool stuff, and doing well, a crowd would show up in front of you every time you went into a battle and went into like this little theater setting, which was a little bit weird, and I don't know why they did that.
Well,
but
okay,
if you were
so
doing really good,
down...
the crowd would give you lots of points. If you had lots of points, you could do your supers. But if you did really bad, you would get hecklers, and they would throw boots and bombs and junk at you.
So how do you put that in a Twitch space without people just picking what they want to be? Because I can very much picture this being like, there's a cool person that likes to stream and they're actually good at what they're doing, but then a bunch of hecklers show up just to be assholes and we'll shit on them. Because like, I feel like that is a very real problem on Twitch. So how do we avoid that? Are these, like, because I feel like that's just Twitch, is like you get on, you start streaming, there are people that'll like you and there are people that don't like you. And like, I guess the hype is just them submitting likes, them donating, them doing that. So how do you gamify something that already kind of exists?
You can, okay, here's how it happens. And this is how we do it with a little bit of love in our hearts.
Okay.
You play the game, you're Twitch streaming to your audience. It's like a turn-based Octopath Traveler game. And if your audience keeps on spamming like the A button and they're letting you know that you're doing really good, you're going to get some extra points so that you can do your cool super alts. But every now and again, at random, we're going to select audience members. But they will be audience members that have to have like, they have to have streamed or like gotten like the little Twitch points for watching your stream for a certain amount of time. So it has to either be somebody that's like been in your chat hating your ass so long that they've accrued enough points. Or it has to be somebody that is like an actual fan of yours. So give them the anonymity that they need. We need to give a super fan the anonymity that they need to throw a boot at their favorite Twitch streamer in game.
Oh god. Okay. So then what is the game?
Well, now we can make whatever we want.
Well, okay, like, I think we can break it down this way. What is the most hype thing, like, what is the most hyped moment you've ever had in your life? Like, that you just, like, were surrounded by a bunch of people, and it was just the hypest fucking thing that you've ever experienced. Because I feel like the appeal that
I do have a moment,
have is,
but I don't
like,
know if it's safe for the podcast.
Is it gross?
It's a little gross, yeah.
I mean, it's up to you, man. If you want to share, you can share.
So I was
okay. Here,
so
how about I? Okay, do you? If you don't want to cover it, I have a bit I can go into.
I mean, I'll give you the spark notes really quick off air. I was at the little Tokyo anime hentai night, and we were thumbing through a bunch of the art, and I found an art that had some tentacles, and I said, "We found the tentacles, boys!" And everybody in the line started cheering. That might be the hypest I've ever felt. It was also probably the dirtiest I've ever felt in my life. But, like, it was one of those things of, like, we all knew. Everybody in that line knew what was going to be saw. And I wasn't proud of the fact that I had to see that with my eyes. But, like, it was one of those movies, like, you can only get so dirty. You know what I mean?
AJ. Okay, I think that story's fine.
I don't
fine.
Think I cut that out. Crazy. I think that's in the audio. I think that that me saying that breathes life to this bit. And here we are. We're still in the show.
See, I like the way you described it. It wasn't raunchy. Okay, but let's take it back a little bit. Let's take it back a little bit. Because the energy I would love for a game like this is, I don't know, I went to public school, and a lot of crazy things happen in public school, but, like, one of the things that always filled me with, like, such energy is when a crowd of people got together on the quad to watch a couple people do something. Obviously, there was, like, of course, that happened with fights, but that's not the energy I want to give here. What if it's like a sort of, what if it's, you could do a thing where this is a Twitch stream that is not owned by somebody in particular, but people are brought into it randomly. So this is like a dance pit, but on Twitch. This is a Yu-Gi-Oh battle where there's a crowd watching, but on Twitch. And all of the people that are in the center of the ring are randomly assigned or randomly brought in, because I feel like that's hype. I feel like, all right, you can,
so you
want to
create a Twitch
stay.
Game show,
basically. Yeah, but like, it's not, the hosts aren't the same. It's just brought in, like, you are randomly brought in. So, like, it could be a thing of, you can do a thing where it's, like, you get enough votes and you are put into the center and now you are, like, participating. So, like, let's say it's like a battle. I don't know what kind of battle it is yet. It could be a dance battle or... More specifically,
so
on Twitch,
we invite two Twitch streamers for the sake of this discussion. Mm-hmm. We'll just say Ray from Gaming New Horizons, and we'll mm-hmm. say Gigguk.
Jupiter's a good one too. Oh, Gigguk, okay.
And we're just gonna throw them into our variety show on Twitch. They're going to play some sort mm-hmm. of game, and our Twitch audience is going to vote who they want to win.
What's the game? They vote who gets. I feel like the audience could throw wrenches into the game. So it'll be like, hey, the audience really wants Gigguk to win. They'll, like, throw some wrenches towards Ray, or vice versa. So I feel like, because I know in, I think it's Warhammer Vermintide, there's a Twitch thing that does something similar where your four characters are going through the level, but the audience can basically send... Like, can vote to send specific enemies your way at any given time.
Yeah, so maybe that's become, like, really common in games
AJ, what if it's like Fall Guys, but you could the audience can vote on the obstacles that come into your way? So it'd be like, you can choose who the fuck you want, or it's like, or that's the boot. So it'll be like they throw a boot at you. So you might be going over a rickety bridge, but everybody voted for a boot to be thrown at you, and you get knocked off that rickety bridge, and now you're behind the person you're competing with. So it could
what
be
would
source,
you get in Fall
sort of
Guys when the chat starts spamming Pog, though? Because that's the important thing. That, like, a lot of mm-hmm. games do this thing of, like, oh, you get, like, your audience can mess with you, right? Dead Cells has that. There was a game on Gamescom that was shown over the weekend that has that. I think it's called
what
Gone Viral.
What do they get when our chat
starts going apeshit and they're like, oh, Pog, yeah.
I feel the two things if I were looking at Fall Guys is just as a blank example, I feel the two things that I've always wanted more of in Fall Guys is to move faster, to not be grabbed as easily, and to not suffer fall damage, or like I not stumble when you fall to fall from a high place. So maybe as you're getting hyped, your character starts to move faster, which can actually make the game maybe a little bit harder if you are the one being cheered on. And if you jump from a place, you don't stumble at all. So, like, if you are hyped, you are clearly given an advantage. So, like, all right,
yeah.
Then I think
so we're going to end up with, like, yeah. Pro streamers are going to kick ass at this game. And all of mm-hmm. us little guys, we're just going to have to fight for those little scraps.
I mean, that's kind of just Twitch as it is. They always support the people that gives them the most views. So
we'll just make them game better too.
I'm not saying Twitch is a well-balanced system, but Twitch isn't a well-balanced system, you know what I mean?
I cannot wait to try to play Fall Guys, and David Dobrik's going to load into my game, and he's going to get pogged so hard and so fast, and he's going to win in 2 seconds.
See, but like, the moment you implement something where it's audience-driven, like, it's like when you and I went into a short film contest where we were like, hey, if we win this, we get a chance to, like, get a red camera, like a very high budget film camera. And then some fucko from, like, New York who has, like, 200,000 followers made a film. Me personally, I felt the quality wasn't great, but, like, just because they have that audience, they automatically win. I feel like that's something that always will be in effect with community, like, driven games. Like
so
that.
Why make a video
or community
game
voted
about it?
Games.
Well, I guess, how, yeah, there it is. This says, hey, we did what we said on the tin. Like, make a game that shouldn't be made.
That's fair. All right. I got a game for you.
All right, hit me.
This one comes to us. Ooh, finally, AJ. I've been saying it for 164 episodes, but here's a submission from YouTube. At ARP 1033,
no!
A game where you have to program.
All right. It's not an official channel, and I forgot to say that at the head of this episode. No!
Well, it's now an official channel. Hey, if you want to come check us out on YouTube, where we have a bunch of our trailers and other things up, YouTube is there, and you can also submit, and I might be more inclined to use them, just despite AJ. This goes to us from ARP 1033, a battle royale where you have to prove that it is you who is the good boy. Yes, you are... You're the best doggy. So it's a battle royale about being the best dog in the house, AJ. So what?
Okay.
So Okay. Do you have some feelings on this one?
Yes, I have many feelings on this. It's a battle royale, but it's not like beating other dogs. I think it's like it's 100% Simon Says.
Mm-hmm.
So 100 dogs are loaded in, and like a big order comes in, and it says sit, and every dog sits, and then it's gonna say. Mm-hmm. It'll just keep on giving random commands with an activation word at the front. Maybe the activation word is randomized every couple of minutes. And you just have to do the orders. And these orders are going to be things like heal, chase, don't chase, wait, fetch. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to have to do it.
But where's,
and maybe like
the where's last the complication dog that, in that? Like, I feel like that's just like, I feel the game doesn't, it feels kind of boring to me because if you are just sitting there, there's nothing interrupting you while you're playing the Simon Says. So if you're just paying attention, you can win this game. Like, it's not... The only thing that would maybe, be hard about that is if, like, the commands were speeding up. So you had to, like, do them and then immediately get into the next command. And then that can feel repetitious. So I think there should be some activity that the dogs also need to do that is then interrupted when they are given a command. So,
that's a great point.
Hey,
what are you thinking?
I feel like we just look at what dogs do. They like to move things. They like to play fetch. They like to just go be with their owner or like go nap. So there could be, in a weird way, actually, I think what would be kind of fun is if you introduced a random element to it, where in Kirby's Dream Course, there was this weird element where just if it was your turn, your character would just suddenly fall asleep and now you don't get to take your turn. So what if you introduced random elements like that? So like your dog out of nowhere is like, hey, you need to go out. You just suddenly feel like you need to take a nap. So like you have to go rush over to the bed, take a nap real quick. And if you miss that Simon Says, you're voted out. Or the dog needs to go out to the backyard because they need to go do their business. And then like you might miss the command. So there's just like
it's,
you are at a randomizer whim.
I have it. I cracked the code.
All right, tell me about it.
It's not just that you get to control a dog, Blake. It's a dog show. This is so that we have multiple points of customization, so you can customize your dog and your dog show shower. What's the person at a dog show called? Anyway, it's a 100 person dog show. You can customize your person. Ooh. You can customize your dog. You have to run around. Your dog does have a randomness element. Maybe it needs to go potty. Mm-hmm. Maybe it needs to nap. Maybe it's just going to be a big stinker and just like not listen. You have to try to do all of the commands that are given to you through Simon Says.
So that you're telling me each level. I know we were just talking about Fall Guys, but like I actually like how Fall Guys formats their game, where it's like you have like 3 to 4 levels, like an X amount of people need to be knocked off during phase 1. X amount of people need to be knocked off during game 2. So like this will just steal that format where it's like there's 4 random games that will be played in this dog show. And during the first level, only X amount of people can make it. So like maybe it won't be like let's try and just steer away from Fall Guys at this point. It's not a race. It's more of just like your execution. So when it's your turn to like go through like the showy thing or like maybe there's a little bit of not metagaming, but what is it called when you're trying to like spec your character that's perfect?
Min-maxing?
What is the slang for that? So like maybe there's a little bit of min-maxing here. Maybe you need to like when you're this specific type of dog, you can't have your hair being shaggy. It needs to be prim and proper. Or like when you're playing another dog, it's great when your hair is shaggy. So it's kind of discovering how to best present your dog. So you then can choose collars. You can then choose like color pattern. You can.
I have one more thing
like
I
want
to add
whatever,
to this game.
Then... Okay. Okay.
I want to add in a little bit of how Astral Chain worked.
Oh, interesting
now,
choice. Okay.
Now, Astral Chain was this game where you had 2 characters that you could control. You had your little person, and then you had like essentially like a stand, a cool spectral being that you could control. This meant that you couldn't control your camera because one stick was for you and one stick was for your cool stand.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, I want it to play the same way. One stick controls you, the person. One stick controls the dog. And then you can do things like those little obstacle races, right? You make one dog do the obstacle race and your person do the obstacle race. You can do like fun stunts where your person and your dog run towards each other and then you press the jump button and the dog jumps over the person. I'm imagining it kind of like there was this reality TV show I remember growing up where like people like they took a bunch of random like celebrities and they gave them a dog and they said, all right, you're the way that this game show works is every week you're going to have to do a cool dog show with us. Train your dog.
Okay, I love that. So you know what I can also picture people doing, that they do it as a an ogre, they call it ogre playthroughs, right? It's where two people share the same controller.
Yes,
so, like, I can picture, like, you and I playing this game where I get the right side of the controller where I'm controlling the dog, and you get the left side of the controller and you're controlling the person, and you and I need to, like, figure out how to cooperate together. Because that I don't feel like that's the core mechanic of the game, but I can definitely picture that's something people would want to do.
Yeah, especially I can as, like, see a people that wanting to do that, but I really want to focus in on making people control two things at once, because it's a really cool concept. Okay.
So what exactly does... Okay, we can get what the dog does. They're like, they have to be at X point and X amount of time or whatever. Like, say they're going through the obstacle course. But how is that a battle royale? Because I feel like one of the things about battle royales is that all players are on the map at the same time. So is it just a bunch of people like having to wait their turn in line, which might be kind of boring?
Yes, because it is a little bit boring because it's a dog show.
Wow, way to shit on dog show.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're just waiting in line, or I don't know, I feel like everybody should have their own section of the field that they're on. Like, I think
there'll be
some
games that you like, there'll be some games where you have to wait in line, some games where everybody will be on the field all at once. Maybe some games were like they're on the field at once, but it's a little bit like the trials system where like they're on a separate track than yours, but you can see them.
That's what I was thinking, is like if you can see them like in line. So, okay, let's say there is a line, because I actually just thought of a fun mechanic. So there's four lines. So only four people are going through it through the course at a time. And this is just for that one individual course game. While you are waiting in line, you need to make sure your dog isn't getting distracted. So, like, that's one of the things I'm pretty sure that dog show people are looking at. It's like, how obedient is your dog? Is it getting distracted? Is it, like, just doing something when that's not supposed to be doing? So there is an activity that you do while you're waiting in line, but you're only waiting in line for, like, say, a minute. It only takes a minute for your turn to come up, basically. Like, say you're at the back of the line, it only takes a minute to get through the line. And then, you know, X amount of people are dropped during that game. And then you go to the next game, which is judging their... I'm trying to gamify, like... Because, like, one of the big things about dog shows is, like, they go and look at your dog and see how well maintained it is. So, oh, here's the thing. What if your dog has a condition status where it's like if you fucked up really hard during the obstacle course, guess what? Your dog's hair got scuffed up, didn't it? So then it actually damages your ability to get through the next thing. So like there was a mud pit that the dog had to jump over. And then if you fucked up, guess what?
You're going to lose out in points. I also want to add in, maybe if it's a dog show thing and we have a voting system, what if you have, there is like a popular vote section, but the catch is that you're not allowed to vote for yourself. So you're going to look at all of the characters' customized dogs, and then you're like, every player is going to actually vote, but they're not allowed to vote for themselves. And if they don't vote, then they get kicked out of the match.
Oh my God. Okay, that's a really good mechanic, because
so there is a real voting system that will be like, if no one can vote for themselves and they're forced to vote for other people, there will come a winner.
I like that a lot, because that means you can put like a camera in like the top left corner that while you're waiting in line, you could be watching that, but that can then interfere with you making sure your dog, you yourself as a player, might get distracted while you are watching the other people perform and miss out that your dog is doing something that they shouldn't. So like it adds that level of like, oh, you can watch people and judge other people, and then you know where you want to give your points, but it also might fuck up your ability down the line. Okay, I'm down. I like that. I like that. See, hey, we got a good YouTube submission, AJ.
Still an unofficial channel. I know that I forgot to remind you. I didn't realize I had to remind you every week.
What are you talking about?
All right, I got another submission here. This submission comes from our Reddit. GrayZephyr87 suggests, a dating sim set during a game of chess. Date and try not to kill love interests, such as pawn, knight, bishop, and many more. Now, there's two angles that we can go about this. Are we anthropomorphizing the actual pieces in the chess board, or is this a dating game where, like, the conversation and the dates happen over a game of chess, and you need to extend the game out so that you don't win super fast because you need to spend quality time with this person, but you can't lose because if you lose, the date's lost, and you're not going to win any of the dating, like, dating points.
Okay, I don't want to introduce a human element because I feel like then it becomes a dating game that is just around chess rather than chess being the dating game. So I think they'll be anthropomorphized only a little bit. So the chess pieces look the same, but they're saying, like, very romantic things to one another. Because that gives me super hardcore, like, Thomas Was Alone energy, where it's just this inanimate square that has, like, these very, very colorful, like, lines of dialogue. So maybe you can do a romantic game where it's all in the dialogue. It's not about appearances. It's not about how sexy the queen piece is or how handsome the pawn piece is or whatever. It's just about the words that they are saying to one another. But it has to be, like, super engaging, though.
So with the dating, the dating isn't necessarily with the player and the person that they're playing chess against. It is the pawns dating the other pawns. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're suggesting? Is it like a dating sim in the way that, like,
AJ,
Fire Emblem games become dating sims and, like, positioning the squares next to each other makes their points go up?
I have it. So each player of chess, you and I are playing this. I see the board one way, you see the board another way. When I look at your pieces, they are color-coded to match a specific piece on my board. So, like, I know that this pawn wants to date this rook really badly. And if I can capture that rook with that specific pawn, I get extra points. But you are seeing a completely different color matching thing. So, like, in your game, that same rook wants to date my bishop, not my pawn. So, like, it's a game of chess, but you want to capture very specific pieces. You want to match pieces rather than just, like, whoever says. And then, like, maybe
this rules.
You like that idea? Like, and then maybe if you can match it, that's when you get, like, a cute little line of dialogue of, like, say my pawn captures your rook, it, like, unlocks a little dialogue thing.
Yes,
that's, like, super cute and romantic.
It's that whole, like, romance growing system, but it isn't based on, like, the units standing next to each other, like in a Fire Emblem. It's based on if that unit hits that other unit, then the points go up a little bit. I don't know if I want this. Okay, hear me out. This is wild. I don't want it to be PvP. I want it to be a narrative game where, like, I want it to be, like, a little bit like Indian in the Cupboard, right? Like, the player has this chessboard, and all of the pieces are alive, and the player's like, I'm going to make all these little doodos fall in love with each other. So they start playing chess, and maybe they're inviting friends over to play these chess games, and then, like, you see on your board the little objective that you need to expand those romances, so you go ahead and move those little guys over, win chess the way you need to get those points to go up, so you can extend the little romances.
So, hold on really quickly. So you're saying me and you would be working together to tell this story?
Yeah, I'm saying that when you and I play this game, it's a single-player game, but you and I are both sitting on the couch with one controller. I'm not saying that you and I play chess against each other. I'm saying that the player plays chess against an AI.
I feel like that loses all tension of the game, because you know what that devolves into is, like, if we know that my pawn wants to get with your rook, those are the only pieces you and I are going to move. Why move any other pieces? So then it would just become a very monotonous game of, like, okay, I'm going to move this one space and maybe in five turns we'll get to that point. What do you do during those five turns?
Like, okay, it just becomes like... So you want to create this game where, in order to see your love and your game progress, you have to keep other people from progressing their game and their stories.
Yes. So I feel adding that competition element to it makes the game, like, one, more interesting, and two, it actually has weight, because it could be like, if that, oh my god, you know what actually,
well, what this
really
does is this
crazy?
Makes me have a reason to play chess, because I fucking hate chess, and now I'll have a reason to be like, well, I think
chess,
you can sucker me
fun.
Into a game,
you know,
another game of chess, because I really want to see,
you know,
what happens when the queen does get to the knight. I really need to see
AJ,
that romance.
You know what? No. You know what? Like, and we make this actually really fucking sad, because this will be like, this will like actually make the opponent feel for like what they're doing. Because like when I play chess and I capture something, I feel nothing but joy and hype and feel good. But I want to feel bad when I capture like my opponent's chess piece. And you know how we're going to do that is? Say that, go back to that original example where my pawn really wants to get with your rook, but that rook really wants to get with the bishop. What happens to my pawn when that, when your rook captures my bishop? They don't have anybody they can love anymore. They suffer a heartbreak and are removed from the board. So it could be like when you capture something, something else is removed from the equation. So
yes, there's
like
a little bit of a randomness feature to it. I love that a lot. Mm-hmm.
So it could be, and you don't know. So like you, like say my pawn was in right in that position to take out your, like take out a bishop or a knight of yours, but you decide to just sacrifice that so you can capture my bishop. It turns out that same pawn will just disappear, and then shit just suddenly goes in your favor. So like I feel adding that little bit of like unknown random element, and also like that piece that gets removed has a really heartbreaking line. So we call it like chess, love, and heartbreak. I didn't expect us to get this much mileage out of this idea, by the way. I remember seeing it on Reddit. Yeah, I very much want to put a pin in this. Let me give you some lightning round ideas. All right, this one comes to us on Reddit at It's-a-me Mitchell, a reverse tycoon-style game where you lead a multi-billion-dollar corporation and must financially ruin it as fast as possible. So this is like reverse Monopoly. So this is like a board game or some sort of digital game where all the pieces are owned at the beginning of the game, and you are randomly assigned those pieces. And the thing that makes the game interesting is those pieces are some pieces are harder to get rid of than others. So then you need, there's a game that the Game Grumps are playing right now. It's like, it's a Japanese board game thing where you actually like purchase stocks and invest in companies. So like, what if it's the original of that? So it's like, you're just each turn is trying to find a way to ruin that business by investing or finding bad investors or,
I actually have a way to relate this to the real world, because I think that there might be a multi like expensive company that is trying to do this.
Really? Okay. Tell me about it.
So my evidence of this comes from my hometown first and foremost, and it has only rang true ever since. So in my hometown, there was this little business that used to have a Blockbuster in it. That Blockbuster ended up closing down because Redbox came around. And so now it was like, all right, what are we going to put in this business? I saw a pizza place show up there. It died. I saw a coffee place show up there. It died. I saw a frozen yogurt stand pop up there. It died. Finally, I saw, you ready for this? Keep in mind, this is a super small town. A Sherman Williams paint shop where you would go in to buy paint. It's a paint company. You would go in and buy paint to paint your walls or your house or something. In this tiny itty-bitty town where I can almost guarantee nobody's painting, the Sherman Williams still stands.
Oh, so are you just...
So
like,
my immediate thought was like, growing up, I was like, what the hell is that Sherman Williams doing there? Because I never saw anybody go into it in the first place. Flash forward to now, here in California... Anytime I see a Sherman Williams, it's tucked away in the most awkward, inconvenienced place I can imagine. I've seen a Sherman Williams next door to a fucking movie theater. What is it doing there? What possibly foot traffic could it be hoping to pull in being
but
placed
how
to
do,
a movie theater?
Okay, yes, I do feel there is a weird cryptid energy about a paint store that just won't leave, that doesn't die. Oh, actually, wait, AJ, it's a money laundering business. that's the reason it exists. Like, yeah, if
it is possible that Sherman Williams in general is a money laundering business, or it is some multi-billionaire that's just trying to liquidize all the assets and just being like, please get rid of this money. I'll keep putting these dumb shops anywhere. I'm sick of it. I want my money gone.
So the gambling part is trying to find the war. It's like Monopoly, where some spaces are higher value than others, but they're higher value because whatever you put there will bankrupt. So say you start off.
You
want to
find the places that are going to get you the least amount of money back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then that they will just have to support. Like I'm trying to figure out the gameplay here. Cause like, is it like community chess?
I think that
this
game is like a cookie clicker.
Are the ones where like,
I'm imagining something that's like a big map of a town. And you're operating on a clicker system, like an auto clicker timer based game. But rather than watching the numbers go up and feeling that satisfaction of like, number go up, cha-ching, it's those numbers go up, but they always have the minus sign next to them. So while your mental thought is money go up, cha-ching, there's a timer in the top left that starts at like 1 billion. And when that thing gets to like the zero, then you get to the end of the game. It's an auto clicker business without an infinite cap. It has a reward point or an end point.
Okay. So in the thing that the unlocks are things that just like blow more money. So actually this is kind of a fun idea. So there is like a weird give and take. You need to have enough businesses to where you are taken seriously. And then at that point you can then spend bigger amounts of money. So it's like, hey, you're known as like, hey, you're the big paint guy in town. Let's throw a big party. And your character and your player's like, oh, fuck yeah, that's just like, I can throw away $100,000 at this party. So it's just like, you need to be a little bit big to give yourself more opportunities to spend money.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how it works, but like, maybe that's how this game could work.
Well, you know what they say, you got to make money to lose money.
All right. Give me another the lightning round game. Hey, AJ, can I eat a Slim Jim right now?
No, you cannot eat a Slim Jim right now.
But I want it.
You son of a bitch. That better not be a Slim Jim you're trying to slap into. Blake Ray, are you trying to snap into a Slim Jim right now?
I am actually trying to. I am trying to snap into a Slim Jim, but I did not open it. I have it on my desk and I'm gazing at it and I'm like, oh man, as soon as I'm done with this podcast, I'm going to fucking snap into you so hard. I'm going to just eat the shit out of this Slim Jim. Oh man.
I got submission here from ACAB for Judy at Very Soft Badger. Also, that's such a good name.
That is a very
Animal Crossing Event Horizon. The villagers have grown tired of the dull tidings of Earth and board a spaceship to explore the cosmos. You are forced to pick your 10 villagers at the start of the game, and their true colors are shown as stress rises on board.
Okay, so
Isabel comes over to you and she says, begin? We're going to space, motherfucker. I got all the whiskey I could possibly need. We're going to space right now. And so you build a little spaceship and Isabel says, all right, thank you so much for building the spaceship.
Let's find out who we're going with.
And you get to pick 10 villagers.
Isabel does not drink whiskey. Isabel is not a whiskey drinker.
You apparently
drinks, like,
don't.
Tropical shit. No, she like drinks vacation juice.
I think that's a glass of whiskey on her desk every morning.
No, vacation juice is totally rum. She is a rum drinker. I do not know what you're talking about. I don't think like I'm going to go on vacation. I'm going to party and I'm going to drink some rum. No, fuck that.
You mean whiskey?
I'm going to drink some whiskey. I'm going to go to a party and I'm going to mix some rum with some orange juice and I'm going to fucking have a party.
Okay, you know what? That's a very good point. Isabel is definitely a rum drinker.
This is very besides the point as the game, but I just wanted to say that.
Isabel strikes me as like a rum or a vodka drinker.
Oh God, she has.
Maybe that's what she's
like
drinking
vodka,
every morning. It's like
vodka.
A little bit of vodka and cranberry juice.
Just to get through the day to deal with Tom Nook.
Just to start the day, dude. Every time you fire up that game, she's got a nice glass on her desk. You know she's sipping.
Oh man. Okay. So she wants to go to space and she's like, hey, I want you to help me manage this spaceship. My question is, is this like you've gone a year of playing Animal Crossing and you have your own island and then it becomes a spacefaring adventure? Or the game opens up with you and Annabelle and the parrot talking to you, or the toucan, because the toucan Airlines, right? or Dodo Airlines. So
The Dodo and Isabel come up to you and they say, we're going to space now. You pick 10 of your members, and as they go to space, the stress of space travel is going to make them reveal their true colors. You know, everybody liked Raymond, but you, and like I've said, Raymond looks like he would say words that shouldn't be said. I hate Raymond so much. I've met guys in college that look like Raymond, and they're the kinds of guy that are like, eh, it's just a word. I think that I should be able to say what I want. Raymond looks like Ben Shapiro. I said it.
Hey, AJ, what's worse than racism? Space racism.
But then, like, on top of that, like, who else do we think would be like a really, really bad character under pressure? Timmy and Tommy? I think that they're gonna fare really well in space. I'm putting them into space immediately. They may try to start a coup, but I do believe that they would be able to take care of whatever needs to get taken care of.
I think the idea of Timmy and Tommy being in space is actually, I feel it would actually make them murderers. And here's why. Because they're going to run out of things. They're going to run out of stuff to sell. Like, it's not like you're getting new shipments of cool things while you're in space. It's like, no, you have what you came up there with. So if you decide,
Timmy, like, and Tommy are going to be like, hey, check this out. I'm selling a radiator. And you're like, hey, Timmy, where'd you get that from? And they say, wouldn't you like to know? You want to buy it?
So,
I happen to know a place on the spaceship that could really use a radiator right now. You should buy this from us.
Hey, I suddenly lost my radiator. Do you guys have any extras? We just so happen to have one in stock. It's going to cost you 2,000 space bells.
Sterling, while I love him very much, he will kill somebody to gain power on the spaceship. I believe that in him. It's just part of his kingly, knightly duty. He's going to be the strongest one on his board, so he's going to believe that he has the right to rule. And he does, admittedly. Who do you think would be a bad person to bring onto a spaceship because, like, their true colors would start to show?
I feel like, this is how I feel about all of the Animal Crossing characters. I feel a lot of them are one step away from going fucking insane and bananas. Like, for example, the museum owner, like, he's so invested in finding things. I feel like if he's put into the vacuum of space where there's no discoveries that have ever been made, no alien life, the moment he gets the scent, the fucking scent of just a new alien species, he's going to do anything in his power to be like, I want to discover this. I want to be the one to be like, I'm the first person that found this. Annabelle, she's like in a contained space. She's like, she likes control. She likes
Isabel. Blake, you need to get her name right.
Sorry, did I say Annabelle? I'm a fool. I'm a foolish fool.
Yes.
Isabel. She's like, she likes control. Not in like, she likes order. She likes things to be going smoothly. Space traveling, it's not as smooth as she fucking thought. People are going to be doing uprisings. People are going to be like, hey, I want to do this. And, you know, the people that aren't in control are going to be like, hey, we need to work as a team and do this. I feel like that's going to make Isabel fucking snap. I feel like everybody on that spaceship is going to be a ticking time bomb. I don't see this game ending perfectly most of the time.
What a good game. And I think that this is why this would work excellently as like a DLC to this game, because what I love is the idea of like, everybody has villagers that they're not super keen on. You can just send them to space. Now, tragically, once they go into space, they are now stuck in a permadeath game system.
They go space crazy.
They do get spaced. They die forever. You have to find new villagers.
Okay.
Do you have a video game for me?
I
or do
have
you want to hunt down our
Nug? Let me look really quick. I do have one more game I do want to mention. Actually, wait. No, AJ, we should go into our Nug. We're hitting like the hour and 10 mark. We should jump into that.
What are we thinking?
I think it's a toss up between Nicolas Cage Uncaged versus our chess romance game, like our chess heartbreak and love and heartbreak. I think there's more to play with the Nicolas Cage game. And but what do you think before I go into like my Nug extras?
I think I want to go with Nicolas Cage Uncaged as well. I love the idea of a game that's a little bit like Goose Game, but with hidden agendas and a scoring system, because I feel like that's something that's not really touched on a lot with these sandbox games. It's like that idea of like, how well did you execute on it? Because we really want to, this will be a nice sandbox game that people feel like they have to go back into so that they can get a perfect run.
And some of the add-ons I want to do is, like, when you are making a movie, one of the biggest things is about marketing that movie. And sometimes even bad publicity is good publicity. Remember when, what's his name? It's the guy from Batman. The Batman Begins. Like, not Batman Begins, Batman The Dark Knight. What's his name? Christian Bale. Remember when Christian Bale lost his shit on the grip on set?
And, yeah, like, he was a bit of a stinkhead, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's a toss-up. Like, from what I hear, the grip was actually being an asshole, and then, you know, but also Christian Bale shouldn't have reacted so, like, intensely to somebody that was, like, helping him. But, so, what happens to the movie we're working on when Nicolas Cage loses his shit on the intern that's trying to give him, like, coffee? Is there an element that you can introduce as the director? Like, maybe you can instigate a little thing of argument where Nicolas Cage is, like, yelling at somebody, or Nicolas Cage goes Nicolas Cage on somebody, and then another PA has, like, their phone out and records it. Does that help your score? Does that make, like, the release of the movie much more anticipated?
It depends. Like, what are you going for this, like, scene?
Yeah, so, like, is there... Like, I guess I'm trying to figure out, is there, like, outside elements that are affecting the making of this movie? So it'll be like, if you build up the hype for this movie because some crazy thing happened on set that you know, that was either crazy or, like, oh, man, that's so hype, I can't believe Nicolas Cage did this whole thing on set. Like, you know, like, when people talk about actors who do their own stunts, that creates this level of hype for a movie because people want to see, like, Tom Cruise actually hold on to the side of a plane in the new
Mission
Impossible.
That's a very difficult thing to try to, like, instigate within the game. Like the idea of, like, the outside game advertisements. I think that this game is a game centered on pushing your actors so far during production. I don't think that we want to try to do, like, outrage marketing with it. Now, granted, there's going to be some of those hidden agendas that do revolve around outrage marketing. I love the idea of having an intern or a set PA with their phone out, and so you're like, check this out, I'm going to piss off Nicolas Cage right now that he's on camera. Or maybe you see that there's a level where the PA has their phone camera on, and you say, I need Nicolas Cage to be happy, I'm going to go ahead and let him play with a chipmunk right now. So you release the chipmunk, and Nicolas Cage starts singing, and the chipmunk runs over and hops into Nicolas Cage's hand, and they start singing together like a Disney princess.
All right, really quickly, AJ, we have to decide right now, because this game's getting a trailer. Are you good at Nicolas Cage impressions? Because I don't think I am.
I'm absolutely not, no.
All right, can you give me your best Nicolas Cage impression?
No. Oh, wait, let me try something.
It's hype, it's entertainment.
Right. You're right. Improv is all about yes and. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. It was a pretty good joke, huh? Pretty good reference. You like that?
It's all right. It was okay.
What's your best Nicolas Cage impression?
Nicolas Cage, I'm more about, like, the, oh, God, I'm looking at his face right now. What the fuck?
Hey, that was maybe the meanest thing you've ever said on the podcast.
Wait, what?
You just said, oh, my God, his face. Oh, my God. Like, you're just laughing at a poor man's face now.
No, okay. Let me give some background. I'm looking at stills of him in Face Off, and there's one where he just has his head, like, reeled back, his eyes open wide, and just, like, has his, like lips just pursed to his teeth, and he's just like, argh!
Wait, that's in Face Off?
Yeah, that's a Face Off, dude.
I really thought that was from the vampire one also.
Well, it's quite possible that he did do it in both of those movies. Okay. I like Nicolas Cage. I love National Treasure. I think it's a great movie.
Oh, who doesn't love National Treasure?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a great movie. Okay. So that's our game. Do we want to see, like, boss fight stuff? Because maybe he runs into some other actors on set. And maybe he runs into a specific director. So let's look at some boss fights.
Let's go ahead and check out some boss fights. I got a boss fight here from Zendrika. Zendrika suggested a loud ass cricket hiding somewhere in my room. So maybe there's a level where there's a cricket going on, and the sleepy cricket noise. It's putting our dear friend Nicolas Cage to sleep. So you got to say, I have an idea. I'm going to make Nicolas Cage fall asleep during this take. So you hunt down that little cricket and you put it in a box. You keep that, you put that box inside of another box and you ship that box to yourself. And then when the package arrives, you put it in the scene with Nicolas Cage.
Okay, so or is the thing that's interesting there, is that implying that there are tools that you have access to? Because, like, in Goose Game, well, I guess those are just, like, not necessarily tools, but abilities. So, like, what would the abilities of our director be?
Well, no, like Goose Game has, a sandbox, so, like, there's things that you can put stuff in, right? Like, maybe there was a mission where it was, like, put the soda can in a cooler. So you put the soda can in a cooler. It's shit like that, right? So you could pick up a box, and maybe there's, like, every set will have boxes there with it. So you always know, as a key mechanic in the game, I can always put something in a box. That's just something that I have. That's the power I have as a human with thumbs. I can just put shit in boxes.
Okay. So that's one of the abilities. I have a boss fight that I think you'll actually love. I didn't know if you knew this, but Disney's working on a live-action adaptation of Hercules, and you know who they've casted as Hunkules, right? In his prime, Nicolas Cage. And at least ancient meme archaeologist suggests the divas from The Pot in Disney's Hercules. So there's a level where you can utilize the divas on The Pot. They are either singing or they are like, you need to use them to hype up Nicolas Cage. Because
I was about to say, they probably hype
confident.
Up him up so they bad. Fucking... This, I think that like that's a tool you're going to get near the end, right? Like when like it's the finale of the movie. You've pushed Nicolas Cage to his utmost limits. And now it's time to on-cage him. You need to get him hyped. You need to get him so jazzed. You need to get a couple explosions around him. And you need to get him in front of camera with a close-up. Because if Nicolas Cage is going to come on caged, you need a good close-up and a good wide. You need
smolder,
as many cameras on him as possible.
The
this is the moment.
Smolder that is Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
Okay. I like the idea of just Nicolas Cage just in a fucking, just like he's battling the basilisk or whatever, the Hydra. Of Hercules, and you just have the divas in the background just chanting and chorusing, and just like that sounds like a really cool scene.
Trying to think if I've played a video game that has like a cool chorus singing in the background during one of the fights.
Probably Devil May Cry. Like of all games, I feel like that's the game.
You know what? I don't think Devil May Cry has any choruses.
Really? Especially the new one. That does make sense because he's like, it is more electronica rock sort of vibe.
Well, Dante's like all like death metal. Nero's sweet. Like cool, like electronic prog rock. And V, what the fuck was V's musical
orchestra?
Because
he's a little poet edge boy, dude.
Did he have violins in his music? Musical track too?
Probably. If one of his emotes is like that, he has a little.
I think
violin
his was screamo actually.
God, what a fucking just Jesus Christ.
God, Devil May Cry 5 owns so hard. I'm going to replay that this weekend.
He's just so edgy. Like, Devil May Cry is cool, and I really do love V's design. The idea of, like tats that come off of you to form animals, and also just having, like... Again, AJ, this harkens back to what we were talking about last episode. He has a trench coat, and it works because it's open.
Oh, God, you're right.
It works because he has an open chest. But like also just like I just a guy talking in like Edgar Allan Poe poetry. I'm like, oh, you fucking edgelord. You just absolute edgelord.
I heard one time I think a friend of mine somewhere told me that Devil May Cry is essentially everything that you secretly think is really cool.
That's a good description. I like that a lot.
I love it very much. I'm going to sit down and play Devil May Cry 5 again very soon, I think. I'm due for a replay. Okay.
So Nicolas Uncaged. That's our game. Let's go
that's
to
our
patch
game.
Notes.
Let's go to patch notes. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to patch notes. So really quick, something that Blake and I are going to do this week is... I experienced a little bit of a bummer where a podcast that I listen to really regularly ended up going on a brief hiatus. And one of the things that they did that I really, really loved that they did at the end of every episode was each of their hosts dropped off a little loot drop, something that they had been experiencing the last week that was a little bit niche, but something that they were really enjoying and was bringing them a decent amount of relief these days. So I wanted to go ahead and steal theirs because they're not going to use it for a little bit. And Blake and I are going to do our own little loot drops. So the first one is going to be from me. It's an album from an artist named Kid Quill. His album is 94.3 The Real. It's a really cool little like happy vibe hip-hop album that is in concept to feel like you're listening to the radio, which I thought was really interesting because I don't listen to the radio at all anymore. So hearing little skits at the beginning, in the middle, and the end of being like, and now we're going to play this track, was really nostalgic in a bizarre way. So I definitely advise checking that out. Blake, wonderful. What's your loot drop for the day?
I have two things I really want to recommend. Like, first off, I kind of want to give context. Right now, like, there's so much shit happening around everybody, and like,
yep.
You know, AJ and I come together each week and we really kind of just put that shit aside to focus on the podcast, because we know the podcast makes people laugh and brings some joy to people, and we're so fucking happy that you guys, one, not only listen but allow us the opportunity to do this every week. That's like really meaningful. But when we're not recording, it's just like, you go on Twitter and you go on Facebook and there's just like a lot of hate. There's a lot of arguing. There's a lot of just people from different perspectives just saying their pieces, and a lot of it fucking sucks. And or the, not that their opinions suck. It's more of just the discussion right now is very heavy and is very, very, you know, like real. So one of the things I'm doing right now is one of my kind of go-tos to relax is I'm playing Myst, actually, from the late 90s.
Oh,
and
no shit.
I love that game so much. Yeah, it's like one, it's important, I think, for me is like just I want to like explore the history of games and like see what were the things that set the standards of today. Like, mm-hmm. Myst is like considered the greatest adventure game of all time, or the greatest point-and-click adventure game of all time. And that is like what a lot of people hold their lights to when comparing them to new adventure games. And I'm going through it, and it's just like, it's a game that's all about atmosphere. There's no music. There's no like intense sequences. It's just like you are on an island and you're exploring it, and it's just so peaceful and it's so quiet. And like, but it's just also so engaging because like every minute you're trying to solve a puzzle. And that's super nice for me because like I have like anxiety. And just like, uh-huh. Listening to all this shit is like ramping that stuff up, and to have something where I can give all of my attention to but not feel like it's taxing is really fucking like special. And I'm very, very happy I get to do that. And then I sometimes in the background, my chill go-to is, please forgive me, I'm gonna butcher this name, Nujabes or Nujabes? You know that band? They did the Samurai Champloo like stuff. And they're just like,
I know
it's just
the artist.
Really just, yeah, it's just really lovely, like smooth hip hop, and it's very like relaxing. None of it really goes hard, in my opinion, which is kind of something I'm really digging right now.
Yeah, for sure. Having things that are a lot more relaxing right now is really cathartic.
Yeah, and those are just the two things I wanted to recommend. I know kind of this ending bit is running way longer than we normally allow it to, and if you're still listening, thank you. And we hope if you check out these couple of things, maybe they can be relaxing for you too.
And with that, I think we're going to go ahead and leave the episode here. Make sure, I know that Blake and I mentioned that like there's a lot of like really crazy and tough discussions right now, but it's definitely also important to make sure that you're tuning into those. I know it can be really difficult, but
yeah,
it's important.
Yeah,
stay informed, stay updated, mm-hmm. And if something feels kind of clear cut, make sure that you double check that. Find your sources. Yeah. Make sure that you're not spreading misinformation. Because I know that, you know, in this last, like,
a lot right now.
It's happening a lot right now. Make sure you fact check everything. Mm-hmm. With that being said, I think that's where we're going to go ahead and leave this. Thank you all so much for listening. I hope that you have a good one. I'm AJ Hart.
And I am Blake Rea.
And this has been Spiritual Successor. And these are cool games
that should not be made.